Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, this beautiful Monday. This beautiful Martin Luther King Day, sitting here at the big Vintage Newt studio in Las Vegas, talking to the United States of America with Michael Goodell, the lovely and talented Michael Goodell, sitting across from me here. And I know we've only been doing the show like 2 weeks, and on the weekend I missed it. I was like, you know, Sunday I was cool.
Your friends weren't here with you, huh?
Sunday I was cool, you know. Right. But Saturday I was kind of like sitting around going, because now, you know, now that I do the show at night,
right,
and we're doing a BS on Showtime,
yeah,
and we're doing the radio show,
yeah,
I don't talk to anybody. I am now at the point where unless I'm getting paid, I don't say a word. I don't chat with people.
I noticed that this morning.
I sit there sullen, saying, "You want me to talk? You pay me." You know, it's you know, it's like what they always worry about with like hookers and sex. I guess that when that becomes your job, you might not do it. I now believe it's 100% true. I kind of sit there,
no longer speaking.
But I have found that if you want to do magic, doing magic for 7-month-old babies,
right,
is so much easier. You know, I spent a lot of time with my daughter yesterday.
I don't have a lot of disposable income.
That is the problem.
A lot of disposable diapers, but no disposable income.
No disposable income. Hard to get rich doing magic. But, you know, my daughter is just discovering mirrors.
Right.
And I don't mean like 45-degree angle mirrors
just
under the table.
Straight on.
Like your boss uses. Hey. Speaking of which, good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
They're waking up now. Once again, not together. I don't think so. I didn't follow either of them last night. They might be waking up together for all I know. This is going to be
I was up all night working, I'm sure.
Yes, because we're writing BS now. We're writing the next Showtime. The next one is Death Penalty. And the way we write this is, the guys in L.A., Star Price and Wolper and Hotchkiss, right? John Hotchkiss, who do all the writing. They do all the work. Then they send us a rough edit,
right?
And then we bitch about it. And we write a few little bits for us.
Up all night bitching.
<That's what he's> And he says, I punched it up a little bit, which usually means he added an exclamation point. I'm going to put an exclamation point in here because I think it's more important. And then it goes to Godot, and Godot does a pass on it, and then Teller does a pass on. So Teller and Lance are up in bed all night working
on the death penalty.
The BS we're working on right now is the death penalty.
And you know there are a lot of really great death penalty jokes.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew that, boy.
Not since Circumcision, where there are jokes a flying, jokes a plenty. And this season that's coming up, which will be season four of BS, you would think that we'd run out of stuff, right? Because the first year you do all the stuff that is obviously BS. The first year you get chiropractors,
psychics,
talking to the dead, bang those out. And you know, by season eight, we'll be down to, you know, what do they say?
Lotion and Kleenex. My nose is just as rough as it was before.
It doesn't work at all. We'll be counting the sheets on toilet paper rolls.
That's right.
Is it really that many more? Is it really softer? We did another one of our BS experiments. If they could, well. But anyway, this year we still got good ideas. And the first show that we wrote, which we have nothing to do with airing, and that's the problem with this. We should be waiting till March and talk about BS because then it'll be coming out on Showtime and we can actually pimp it and it'll do some good for us. Now we're talking about it as we write it, which is, you know, months away. But we did one show on Boy Scouts, and I felt so guilty. You know, the other night at the end of our show, we do the bullet catch,
right?
So I asked someone who knows about
guns,
handguns, because they're going to examine it and all this. Mm-hmm. And usually, we try to get a police officer.
Right.
And if you have a choice, if you want someone that knows guns, just from someone who's been doing this trick for a long time.
If I decide to copy that trick and put it into my show, this is advice for me.
Female police officers from New York City.
Yeah, they know guns.
I mean, if there is one creature on the earth who is not to be monkeyed with, it is female police officers from New York City. Officers from New York City are tough. But the women, you know, and you give them the gun, and it's like they don't just kind of like look at it. Like some of the guys just kind of open it up to make sure. Because we want to make sure it is a real gun, it is a real bullet. I mean, we're doing a really hard trick, and we want credit for it.
Sure.
So the tougher people we get, the better, you know.
Yeah.
But the women, you know, from New York City who are police officers, will just like field strip it, you know.
Down and back up 10 seconds.
Yeah, they put their blindfold lawn. And Pat, sir, Pat, I love my gun, Pat. You know, they're very, very, so you want to get the women right. police officers on stage. So we do the bullet catch. And so I get a woman, we have no women police officers in New York City. We have no women that know guns. We don't have any military guys. And this guy raises his hand. He looks to me to be about 30.
Uh-huh.
And his qualification for being on stage is Eagle Scout. He says, I'm an Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout, I know guns.
Right. So I kind of say to him from stage, what, you know, do you have your merit badge and firearms? You know, which is one of those things you do sometimes where if, it could be a real question or it could be a joke if you let the audience decide.
Right.
And they get a little joke, you know, they get a little laugh, and then he says, yes, I have my merit badge and firearm. He comes up on stage, and he's about, I don't know, like I said, he looks about 30. This is an adult, because we wouldn't have a kid on stage. Although I'll tell you, if you want real fun, if the Blue Man Group is listening, and you want that goofy, wacky clown stuff you guys like to do, give guns to children, because I think the audience would laugh a lot. But we don't do it. We have adults on stage. So this guy is an adult, but he shows me his Eagle Card badge, you know? Now, once in a while...
Like a police ID, they get a badge?
If a guy is NYPD, you right. know, occasionally, he'll just flip open his badge. Uh-huh. He's really hip to do as you come
sure,
up on stage.
Sure.
Like I say, so you're a police officer, and he just goes...
Yes.
And there's a detective shield. All of a sudden, you're in Law and Order.
Yeah.
And, you know, you expect him to give you some backstory about his wife and being an alcoholic. And other people don't. Like when someone says, you know, they own a gun store
right,
or
sure.
they were a Marine, they don't pull out, you know, the dog tags or something. But this guy,
right.
he looked older. There was like that
Eagle
kinda,
Scout.
There was kind of Sirhan, 5 o'clock shadow, you know, that kind of like the Life magazine.
Have a shaving merit badge.
And he shows me the card, you know, and uh-huh. I say, he's an Eagle Scout. And then you know that I am the king of hypocrisy. So I kind of celebrate him on stage being an Eagle Scout when we were writing the BS yeah. on Boy Scouts. And I want to tell you, I do think it's a cool thing. It's a very cool thing that people get Eagle Scout.
To be an Eagle Scout.
And
sure.
scouting is a great thing. It's wonderful. And our whole BS show will be about how it's been hijacked.
This wonderful program has been
hijacked.
Run off the rails.
And it's run by the government. I mean, it takes government money. We all pay for it. And yet they're throwing out atheists and gays who, you know, last I knew, were American citizens. You know?
and
if our money is going for it. So they're atheists. They're gay atheists who are paying their property taxes, supporting the school. They have scout meetings there, and yet...
And they're not allowed to go.
They wouldn't be welcome.
Right.
You know? So, but anyway, we had an Eagle Scout on stage for this, which is, feels like...
Did he know guns? Did he look through the gun? Was he...
Did a fine job. He had his firearms merit badge. I told you that. What does that mean? Nothing to you?
I'm not sure what that
Mr.
entails.
Mr. Cynical BS. You don't think
when
that...
I was in the Boy Scouts, what they did was fold up any piece of crap they found on the ground and smoke it. This is absolutely true. They put donkey manure into a toilet paper roll and lit it and smoked it. So there were crazy people in the Boy Scouts when I was there.
Were they trying to get high?
I don't know what they were trying to do.
Well, I guess you're, why else would you put donkey dung in a toilet paper roll
and
when you're
mouth.
Trying to get high? Yeah. I guess that's the only reason. When I was in Boy Scouts in Greenfield, Massachusetts, uh-huh. it wasn't a lot of people trying to get high. It
right.
was, people seemed to be pretty serious, except me, you know. And I thought the merit badges were really cool.
Right.
So I wanted to get my cooking merit. And this is a little piece of advice. When you listen to the Penn Jillette Show on Free FM, you get. Now, we're going to be giving away free stuff. We get a lot of free Aristocrats DVDs that I want to give out. And I'm going to be giving them out like water. Because Free FM has a bunch to give out,
uh-huh.
you know. And then I get a bunch of these DVDs because I'm the creator.
You're the boss.
Yeah, so they give me a bunch of them. And they gave me more DVDs than I have friends. So in a kind of a pathetic way, I'm going to be giving out these.
You're trying to buy friends.
I'm really trying to buy friends. So if you write in an email to us and you want a DVD of the Aristocrats...
if we read it, we'll definitely send you one.
Definitely. And we might even send it if we don't read it, because we don't get to stuff a lot, you know? So So if you call up, certainly, when the guy answers the phone in New York, because there's no communication going on between New York and Vegas. So tell them that we want to send you a DVD and make sure they write down your name and address and say, get this to Farley. Get it to, because Farley runs the whole DVD.
Farley's the one in charge of that, okay.
I guess so. Okay. She's close enough. Farley Ziegler. Say, you got to get this to Farley in L.A., and then you'll get your DVDs because we're giving them out. But I want to tell you, not only will you get, if you write in something about the Boy Scouts or anything like that, but also you get free advice. And if you're a kid and you're in Boy Scouts, which you shouldn't be because it's a homophobic and religious organization, so you should not be involved. But if you are and you want to get the Cookie Merit Badge, this is the way I got mine.
This is a funny story.
You've heard this. Is it okay if I tell anybody you've heard it?
Yeah, I guess.
The only one I'm talking to really is you.
Yeah, I'll listen to it again.
Okay. You had to get to get.
I had to type this story out.
Did you?
I did.
Okay, so you know it well.
I know the story.
Yeah, you usually did it for the BS show.
Exactly.
I wanted to. And this is a story of how I got a Cooking Merit Badge in Boy Scouts, because I wanted it. And when I want something, you know, it's like the Game Show Network, those who won't lose. Well, there'll be an episode on Penn Jillette, who would not lose his Cooking Merit Badge. And one of the things you had to do to get a Cooking Merit Badge was to light a fire. Which is the more butch of the things you need for Cooking Merit Badge.
Right.
You know, more than making
biscuits.
Build
a fire, sure.
Build a fire.
Fair enough.
I have no talent in building fires. my wife wanted to have a fire in the fireplace. We have those chemical logs. And even then, you know, she didn't call me to stack the chemical logs. No skill in lighting a fire, but I wanted this merit badge. So I went out into the woods. And this will work, kids. Really, listen carefully. And you take a can of Sterno.
Uh-huh.
They still have Sterno,
yes.
Right? It's used
yes.
all the time.
All the time.
I mean, this is how disgusting and piggish my life has become. The only place I see Sterno now is in room service carts.
That's right. It's underneath shrimp.
Yeah, underneath shrimp.
That seems to be the natural order of things.
Okay,
shrimp.
Well, if you take it away from its natural, like if you go to a banquet and you cop a Sterno can.
You can buy them.
And then you can also strain Sterno and drink it, can't you?
No.
Don't winos do that?
No, you cannot and survive it.
Not survive? Do you die?
Yes,
but I
believe
mean,
you
like,
die.
What is it? Betty Ford, or was it Kitty?
Kitty Carlisle.
But
what are you talking about?
One of the alcoholic first ladies, didn't she drink like mouthwash and vanilla and strained Sterno? Did I just make this all up?
I don't know.
I probably shouldn't slander.
I wouldn't.
One of the first ladies.
Keep the first lady out of it and don't
there
drink
been
Sterno.
No, there
I believe her. What you need to say now.
Okay. First lady.
Say the words.
Do not drink Sterno.
Thank you.
Under any circumstances. And none of our first ladies ever have recommended drinking Sterno or ever admitted to drinking Sterno.
Okay.
Do not
Thank you.
Drink Sterno.
Keep us out of jail.
Do not drink Sterno.
I'm satisfied now.
Okay, good. Do not drink Sterno. But the other thing, you can do with Sterno is you go out in the woods where the scoutmaster is going to have you mm-hmm. light your fire and cook. And they'll tell you ahead of time where it is. There's usually one place they do it. And you bury the Sterno can in the ground. And you bury it right so it's even with the top of the ground. And then you put a few pine needles over the top. This is probably really dangerous. Probably starts forest fires. But you don't do this too much in advance. Like, I'm trying to be, like, really citizen. I'm civil-minded while telling people how to cheat the Boy Scouts. That's the kind of guy I am. Do not
your
drink.
Own little thing. Don't let the atheists in. We're going to teach people how to cheat.
Cheese and rice. Do not drink Sterno. So I buried it there, and I put the cover on it, and then a few little pine needles, probably, is what you're looking for.
Unless you're doing the test in Hawaii.
Pine needles on it.
Okay.
And then I go out, and I as the scoutmaster says, you know, light your fire. And you have, like, three matches. There's some sort of, like, macho do it in three matches, you know. So I got my three matches, waterproof matches that are soaked in wax or something. And so I go over while the scoutmaster is just kind of looking around or, you know, taking a leak or whatever scoutmasters do. I build this pathetic pile of pine needles and green twigs on top of my Sterno can, right? And I go over to my scoutmaster and go, oh, okay, I'm ready now. Give me the match, and I'll light it. And the scoutmaster, you know, his name was Fred Wilbur.
Right.
Fred Wilbur was his name in Greenfield, Massachusetts, Troop 5 scoutmaster. And he said to me, he's been trying to be so kind to Penn, you know, and he says, he's trying to be so nice to me, and he says,
to the young Penn.
To the young Penn.
He had no idea.
He had no idea. So he says to me, you know, you might want to rearrange your kindling. I'm not sure. And I look at him in the eye and I go, I've had a great deal of success with this in the past, sir. You know, this is the, this is
he's
the,
trying to help you. And you are just,
Yeah. I'm just me. I'm just Pat.
Right? And they have the big hairy jerk merit badge. He's trying to help you.
Yeah. And well, I'm being the big hairy jerk.
The grateful wretch.
So I light the one match, you know, and I go over to where I've just kicked the cover off, just barely under the pine needles, and I light the sterno, and this blue flame comes up out of the ground. Like I'm getting my Cook It merit badge on Jed Clampett's like up to
old
the ground.
Penn's a millionaire.
Crew. And this blue light of gas, you know, comes up.
Flame,
and of
sure.
course, even though I have, you know, green wood and stuff, I can throw anything on there now, and it burns, because, you know, it's hard to put out sterno.
Right.
It's difficult.
Yes.
You have to have the cover and the whole thing. So I cook, you know, whatever it is, my hamburger and my biscuits on top of the sterno.
Shrimp is sterno.
And then when it's time to put the fire out, I have to, you know, I can't just, like, put it out like you're supposed to, Boy Scouts. I have to, at some point, slide the lid over the top of the sterno and then bury it really good. And I got my cooking merit badge, and that's the way I got it.
Congratulations.
And so I'm on stage, and there's a guy who I think really did work for his Eagle
right.
Scout merit badge. And he's showing me the card that says he was an Eagle Scout. And I'm also acting like this is a big deal on stage and being very nice
right.
to him. And then we are
it
working.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it's really good.
You're
but
not acting like it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Boy, Eagle Scouts are really... Didn't Margaret Downey's son, you know, the atheist that
yes.
sued him, he was an Eagle Scout, wasn't he?
He was an Eagle Scout, yes, he was.
And then he said he was an atheist, and he's
out of
those. But he was an Eagle Scout.
To heck with helping the blind, children. You're out.
Yeah, one of those guys that the research
one of the guys
found
the
out.
Research, yeah.
Was he gay or an
I
atheist?
Think he was gay, yeah.
Whatever
yeah,
one he was.
He was running a Boy Scout troop for blind children.
Yeah, he was doing everything.
Great
he was like
guy.
Everything. He was like, oh, and by the way, I've cured HIV. And, you know, it's just,
yeah.
this whole list of
how'd
stuff.
You go?
And they see a picture of him in some sort of gay awards, which I don't even know where you go to a gay banquet, you know, but they have a picture of him there, and then out. He's just out instantly.
Next day.
So these people were suing the Boy Scouts, and then the Boy Scouts, and now there's legislation, and we'd have to ask Bob Cormavier to explain this, but because some people have been saying we don't want to give our money to homophobic, anti-homophobic.
Yeah, because it would be, we don't want to give money to un-American activities such as racism or
yeah.
sexism,
yeah.
you know, reasonable enough. There are laws that say you cannot be in a school, you can't run a program in a school if it excludes other people.
Right,
so.
And, but there's now legislation that has gone through, I guess,
yeah.
that says that if any township or state
right.
tries to give less money to the Boy Scouts because they are homophobic,
they lose their funding.
They, lose, they lose their funding. So now it's not just state-sanctioned homophobia what is anti-atheist? I guess just good thinking.
Yeah,
to most people, that's just good thinking, anti-atheist. But whatever you want to call that, whatever. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. If they're anti-Jewish, you can just say anti-Semitic.
Right.
Boom, bang, you can't be that. Homophobic, boom, bang, you can't be that. And then you say, you know, but we're against atheists. And you go, well, that's...
Annoying
to atheists, but they don't really care. They have no power, nothing. This is Penn Jillette. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to Michael Goudeau with a swinging theme song. We're on Free FM, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. We're going to be back. We're going to give stuff away. Please make me give stuff away. But I want to give stuff to people. Good dog. Well, this is Pendulette talking to Michael Goodell. I'm gonna wait till we're sure that Jonesy is listening. You know, Mike Jones, our piano player, who wrote the theme and is playing piano on the theme, and who's playing bass again? Oh yes, that's me. I'm playing bass. When he's usually not up as early as we're on the air, because he's in real show business. Mm-hmm. But when I'm sure he's up, I'm going to come back from a break and I'm going to snap on 1 and 3 just to make him crazy. And I hope he's not listening today, so that the day we do it,
the joke.
just drive him nuts. People are writing in to penradio@gmail.com. That's PENNRADIO@gmail.com. And also you can find a lot of stuff on penradio.com, just plain penradio.com.
Find podcasts and stuff.
Not yet. Don't say that. No, they're not there yet. There's a certain kind of technology that lags. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, is the phone number to talk to us here. And some people are writing in and just saying, give me an Aristocrats DVD.
Right.
Just give me one.
Sure.
And I think today I'm going to do that. But it would be much better if you wrote in with something like, you know, we like the show. Maybe
here's
that phrase.
Here's one. Okay, Mike Tucker wrote in. He wants a free DVD. But he also said he was an old Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. And he remembers that they had to learn to start a fire at least 5 different ways. His favorite was always some steel wool and a 9-volt battery.
But that's a real one, though.
That's a real one.
That's not a gag.
That's not a gag.
And didn't Dean write? We have a good friend, Dino, who's Dean Cameron. For those of you who ever saw, this is ancient history, and I shouldn't bring this up because he's done a lot of stuff since then. He was on West Wing. He was on, was he on West Wing? I think so.
Yeah.
He was on Mr. Sterling, certainly. And he's been on, he did a movie called Hollywood Palms. That was wonderful. He wrote it and did it. But everybody knows him as Chainsaw from the summer school movies. He wrote in. He was a Boy Scout. And what does he say? Now, he wrote in. We're not even going to give him a DVD.
He was an Eagle Scout.
He was an Eagle
Scout.
Dino's Eagle?
Dino was an Eagle Scout.
Okay, well, I have less respect for the guy. But he doesn't flash his card, does he?
I don't believe
him. I don't know if I believe him. Next time we see you, we want to see that Eagle Scout card. Yeah.
He says in the Scouts he learned how to strain Sterno. You pour it through bread and you can drink it, is what he said.
No, you can't. You're saying it.
That's what Dino said. I'm just reading the letter. I think it's a bad idea.
Well, you can drink it, but you'll die. I mean, you shouldn't be saying
it. He's supposed to learn how to roll a joint and how to drive drunk. Things that he learned in Boy Scouts. Oh, how to shoot bottle rockets at other humans and not get hurt.
How do you do that?
He said the only thing he learned that he doesn't use is how to sleep in the woods.
Dean Cameron.
789. Highest number of Eagle Scouts in the USA. Wow.
And where was that? Isn't he from Normal, Oklahoma?
He didn't have that part.
Norman. Is it Norman or Normal? It's Oklahoma he's from, right? I think he's from Oklahoma.
He's Oklahoma, yeah.
What's the troop number?
786, I think it was.
786.
789.
789.
In Oklahoma.
And he's
ski school, summer school. He's in a lot of those.
Yeah.
Any movie with a school in it, Dino was in it.
I was out. He was also in a movie called Miracle Beach, which he really didn't like. And he won't let me watch because he thinks he's not good in it. But I'm sure he's great in it. It's just not a good movie. But maybe it's even a good movie. But we were out once at a Japanese restaurant here. I was out with Dino. And someone came up to him and said, "Weren't you in Ski Beach 2? Ski Beach 2.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's Dean Cameron. And Dean Cameron, to me, for all he's done, he does a lot of voiceover, too.
Like, right.
You live in California, for all like the Democratic Party
PG&E.
Things, PG&E, all those things, it's Dean's voice. And he's got a great voice. And I think, he is such a good actor that it's like supernatural when you're around him, Like, you're working. He's helped me a few times. I've had auditions, and I've been scared to death. Like, I did this thing called The Exonerated, where I had to do, like, supposedly serious acting. I had to play the part of a guy who was on death row and had been exonerated. And so I had to, like, be emotional and stuff and not my usual kind of cold, smart-ass stuff. And so Dean went over the script with me and really, really helped me. And when Dean reads something, like, you give him a script. Like, I've written some stuff and wanted someone to read it so I hear what it sounds like.
Right.
And you give it to him and you think that he got really mad at you. Like, if the script calls for to be mad, like, you start feeling like, oh, I think he's a little angry at me.
Yeah, what's wrong with Dean?
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
I just asked him to read the script. He seems mad.
I kind of feel like Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro. They always make it.
Explain why you're not winning any acting awards.
Or Jack Black. Right. Jack Black makes it very clear he's acting. But when Dean does it, it's like.
And yet you complain about it when he does it. Which side are you on this?
I don't know. I think I'm on
the
side.
I've heard you complain about the Jack Black winking and, you know.
I think I'm on the side of acting should be completely believable.
Oh, okay.
But you shouldn't do it in my face. I mean, you should use that skill on TV. And also, Dino can
it's
do
a superpower. It's a superpower, and you should not be able to use it in inappropriate situations.
It's like Team America.
Yeah.
Dino is such a good actor. Such a good actor. That he does a card trick. He can put the deck down and say, well, I've shuffled that deck. And you just, it's so to his heart does he believe that he shuffled the deck, that he can do that. He can take a deck that's completely stacked, you know, full on, as we would say, cooler, you know, completely stacked deck. He can just say, well, you know, I've shuffled this, and now you have a free choice. And you just got, it's just all, he can do an entire magic trick just with acting. And he also came up with this thing, which I think is one of the coolest ideas anyone ever did. This is all, well, this is now turning into, we have a page of notes
show.
Of what we're supposed to talk about here, and it's turning into the Dean Cameron show.
But we haven't even talked about the really cool thing about Dean. And you don't even know what that is.
Security edition. That's where I was going to go.
He's a freedom fighter.
Yeah, he's a real freedom fighter. Dean got the idea. You can go to a place called securityedition.com. I should tell you what it is before I give you
the... Yeah, don't give him the address yet.
Dean got the idea of printing up the Bill of Rights on a little piece of metal. It's about the size of a playing card. And it's metal. And it's the entire Bill of Rights. And the Fourth Amendment, the one about search and seizure, is in red.
Uh-huh.
So you have the Bill of Rights on this little metal card. And it sets off the metal detector. So when you go through TSA, you set off the metal detector. They look in your pockets. You pull this out. And they say, oh, that's what took it off. And you go, oh, yes, it's just my rights. Take them. And it doesn't teach them anything. It's not like they go, oh, yeah, you're right. We're taking away your rights. I should quit my job and get a job. No, they don't do that at all. But, you know.
Just a joke for you.
A lot of times, pure performance art is best right. just for you. Or as a gedanken, as a thought experiment. You just kind of run, how cool is it to carry around? So I carry around a Bill of Rights, and you can go to, I mean, the ACLU, which I'm all for. The ACLU bought like a zillion of them from him and gave them out as party favors.
Wow.
But you can go to Security Edition, securityedition.com, and tell them you heard about it on the Penn Jillette Show.
That's right.
And Dean will write you.
Maybe they'll send you a DVD.
Dean will write you a nice letter back. Dean's personable. He's pleasant. And his acting is so good. You know, there was a play that Stephen Banks, who's the big SpongeBob guy.
Right. Uh-huh.
Stephen Banks and I wrote a play called Love Tapes,
yeah.
And we did it in L.A. for a couple weeks, and longer than that, I guess, almost a month last year. And Dean starred in it, and his wife directed it, Jesse. And boy, was he good. I mean, just insanely good. And I was sitting there, you know, and I'd written the words he was saying, and yet he seems to make them up on the spot. It's just that level of acting. You know, most people, when they do the acting, it's like that kind of Jack Black, oh, this is how I say this line, funny. But Dean, it's like it's really happening. It's just creepy and it's unpleasant. And he was an Eagle Scout. And I bet he had an acting merit badge.
Do you think they have one?
They must have. Because I had all the fruity merit badges, you know. I had like pets and oceanography, right? And music, those are the merit badges I had. I had none of the, you know, whatever they have now, you know, commando and, you know, killing a human being in three blows. And
none of those, no.
And now...
You had feather boas.
I had on my sash. I don't know how they try to be butch when they have something, you know, when they're wearing a sash.
Yeah.
Or why they would keep gays out when they're having little boys wear shorts.
Neckerchiefs.
I think that's John Stewart's joke. I think Stewart made that first. I mean, John Stewart's so good, but he made this joke about how what could be more gay than the way Boy Scouts dress, yet they're not letting gays in. But John probably did it better than that.
Probably some clean, nice version of that, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Nice.
Could be.
Well, that's because he was planning on doing the joke, and I just heard it and laughed at it and had no intention of stealing it. But I'm going to be talking a lot more about The Aristocrats coming up. The DVD is coming out. It's really, really good. And it's really good. And besides that, it's really, really good. And it's really
funny. Who made it?
And we'll be, I'll be back with Paul Provenza. And I'll be back after this to tell you the faults in the DVD. But you're still going to want to get it. And write to us and beg us, and we'll probably send you one. None of those rules they have on Free FM about how you can't work for another radio station. Yeah, well, this isn't a contest. This is a gift.
Don't tell your friends, though, because we're going down, baby.
We are? There's many too many? Okay, then you've got to have something clever to say. Don't tell your friends.
Or you might not get one.
You might not get one. Yeah, exactly. Well said. We'll be back after this. Snapping on 1 and 3. I couldn't wait to make sure Jonesy was listening. I have to snap on 1 and 3. A lot of people are writing in saying, gimme.
Quit telling your friends.
Quit telling your friends. If you're listening to the show, you know, that's fair. But don't just write an email quickly and say, this nut is giving away free stuff. Also, I want to make this really clear. You know, this is Free FM, and this is a, it's classier. We talk about ideas, like drinking Sterno, on the show. And you might not like the DVD. And one of my goals in doing this DVD, one of my goals in doing the movie, The Aristocrats, was I didn't want anyone who wouldn't like it to see it. And that's something that's really foreign to the idea of Hollywood. But it's really true with me. I didn't want people to go and be offended. You know, there's people like Michael Moore and Mel Gibson, who I'm convinced are the same person, except for, like, you know, a few sit-ups, who think that their stupid movies are going to, like, change people's minds. And it's possible, I suppose, that Michael Moore did help get Bush elected. I mean, if you're going to be a cynical conspiracy nut, leaking out allegations against the president before you can back them up, so that then it steals all the thunder, so they really do come out, they mean less, is a fine way to get the incumbent reelected. But, you know, Michael Moore thinks, get Republicans to see my movies, it'll change their minds. And who knows what Mel Gibson is thinking. I mean, I think that the depiction of Mel Gibson on South Park, that Trey and Matt did, is probably not even a cartoon, but documentary. I think he's a raving lunatic, you know, with his little imaginary friend in their SM relationship. And they think that their movie should go out to people who aren't going to like it to open their eyes. And I think when you make a movie like whatever's out now, I guess Dukes of Hazzard isn't, but, you know, they say, you know, everyone likes large breasts, everyone likes cars. You know, Jessica Simpson has a big name, let's put it out, it appeals to everybody. This movie was never meant to appeal to everybody. Provenza and I wanted to make a movie of 104 of the funniest people in the world. You know, Gilbert Gottfried, Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, Bob Saget, all these people, backstage, Phyllis Diller, backstage letting their hair down, saying in their pops into their head, and being as dirty and filthy as they possibly could. And we did not get an MPAA rating. There is no rating whatsoever.
I think that's really
none.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that. Of all the stuff about this movie, I'm really proud of that. We didn't go to the private censorship board, the board that says, we're going to censor ourselves so the government doesn't have to. Oh, yeah, that's patriotic. I think it was Patrick Henry that said, give me liberty or I'll censor myself before the government does. I mean, if you're a freedom fighter, censoring yourself so the government doesn't have to is probably the hippest thing you can do. What a bunch of losers. And, you know, they are anonymous. People don't know who's on the MPAA board.
They're not elected. They're not chosen.
And there's this movie coming out. This movie is not rated or something?
This movie.
No. There's a movie about the MPAA that just trashes them.
Sure.
And I hope it just rips them a new one. I hope
they have to rate it.
But we went out unrated, and that was part of my pushing for it. And the other thing is the slogan that's on the movie, which is no nudity, no violence, unspeakable obscenity. I wanted that out there so that people wouldn't come to see the movie accidentally. And my sister, you know, my sister is visiting me, and she's in the other room listening to us. And my sister, it's hard to imagine not only me loving someone more than I love my sister, but anyone loving someone more than I love my sister. We're very close. My sister is 23 years older than me. So We're the same parents, you know. So I might have been an accident.
That seems bland.
I might have been an accident.
Well, the first child's through college.
She's married. Maybe it's time to have a... And I always had in the back of my mind the Jack Nicholson thing. You know, Jack Nicholson found out that the woman he thought was his sister was actually his mother. And, you know, in the 50s, that could have been the whole deal. But there are pictures of my mother pregnant in the hospital. Of course, my mother was such a good liar, you know. But, you know, when she died, she would have told me on her deathbed or something. I think. So I'm sure this is my sister. And my sister is in her 70s, and she's a widow, and she lives in a nice little house with her cat. And my sister, she thinks that the language on CSI is a little bit racy. I believe she's never even said hell or damn. Or as my mother once said to me, and this shocked me, my mother said this about my sister. She said, you know, your sister wouldn't say an obscenity if she had a mouthful of it. And you can guess which obscenity it was there. But it's the obscenity that's the second half of the name of our show, BS on Showtime. So I've never heard my sister say hell or damn. She has seen every single thing I've done. She's seen every show I've done since I was in high school doing talent shows. And the movie The Aristocrats came out, and of course my sister is going to go see it. And I go, no. No, you're just not going to like it, you know. You love Phyllis Diller. You don't want to see her talking filthy, you know. And, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of older people, you know, people in their 60s and 70s, have adored this movie. Because it has people, you know, it has Pat Cooper, and it has people sure. that and Jay Marshall. And it has old-timers as well as, you know, as well as the staff of The Onion. Uh-huh. But I just don't want my sister, I don't ever want her to blush about anything, you know? I don't want her to be offended. And that's what I'm saying about this movie. If you don't want to, if there's ever been a word, any word, if any word has ever offended you, not the context, not the hate behind it, not anything like that, but the actual word, any single word, if there's a word you go, I don't like that word. Like my friend Renee, you know, she doesn't like sure. the word moist. She just hates that word. That's different. But if you have a word that you dislike, that's different. Because that's a word that, you know, nobody besides Renee is bothered by. Although you can write in if you're bothered by the word moist.
And we'll send you a DVD.
Because I don't think that
now
word.
Now we're gonna be liars writing in.
I don't think that word is in the movie. But if you've ever been bothered by a word, including the bad ones, you know, including, you know, the C word.
No,
the C word's sure. in, you know, 23 times. All the really bad ones are in it. But it's all people talking. It's nothing but people talking. So it has to be the word that offends you. And it is the most full of love movie ever made, because it's 104 of the funniest people alive trying to make each other laugh.
Right.
I mean, that's all. It's not like in the Disney movie.
They're talking to you like you're their friend.
Yeah. In the Disney movies, you know, people die. You know, Bambi's mother. I know that Bambi's mother wasn't a person. I'm aware of that. Bambi's mother was an animated deer. I want to be very clear that I understand
the difference
between reality
it's
and
a drawing
fantasy.
Of a deer.
Exactly.
Not even a real deer.
Not even a real deer. But what I'm saying is the emotions are there. But in this, it's all positive emotions. It's all people full of love and joy. It's, you know, Provenza and I, Paul Provenza, who's the director of this movie. And, you know, Paul Provenza I always liked and always thought was really, really talented. But truth be told, he's so much better than I thought he was.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way. It sounded, you were setting up to go the other way.
I know.
That was like a joke.
He's so much better.
He is.
He's really good. I mean, you know about this movie from the beginning.
Yes.
And when you saw it, you were looking forward to seeing it. You were still blown away.
I thought it would just be a movie for your friends, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And 100 people telling the same joke. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to like this, but it's going to be pretty long for most people. Provenza's editing and Emery, oh, they're geniuses. Yeah. I cannot say enough good things. It's a story. It's an arc of events. Yeah,
but
it's great.
If you're like my sister and wouldn't say whatever if you right. had a mouthful of right. it, you don't want to see this movie.
Yeah, my mom probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay. Or maybe your mom would enjoy it, but you don't want to hear about it.
Well, no, she's uncomfortable with the language in South Park, and so if that makes you uncomfortable, then this
yeah,
certainly will.
I think this has to have the most dirty words and the most shut up that any movie has ever had. I mean, it's just and that's why it wasn't that brave through an MPAA. And if you really want to see a movie that's full of obscenity, you should buy this. Go to Amazon, and I want to tell you, when you go to Amazon, to buy the Aristocrat. See, I'm now trying to get people to buy it. Because
we've run out.
We might be done giving them out today. Because some of you ruined it for everybody else. Some of you told your friends, there's this nut on the radio giving stuff away. You can always flip it on eBay and make $5, you know, $10. You guys ruined it because if it was just if the people that really, really wanted it and really listened to this show wrote in and wrote something cute and funny besides.
Well, here's one that I think is a valid letter if you're just asking for people to write in.
Okay.
Here's somebody asking, you know, about Bob Saget.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean Bob Saget is one of America's 104 funniest comedians?
Okay, yeah, you wouldn't think Bob Saget was funny. And, you know, I had many fights about this because he's on, like, what, Full House?
Yeah,
Full House. America's Funny Company. And not funny shows. And so I'd tell people that Saget killed me. It was really, really funny. And they'd act like it was a nut. In this movie, Saget is arguably the filthiest in the movie. I think that Doug Stanhope and Gilbert Gottfried and Carrie Fisher come close. But
Carrie Fisher.
Princess Leia.
What are we talking about?
She's really funny, and she's really dirty. And Bob Saget, I'll tell you, if you buy the DVD and you don't think Bob Saget is funny, and I know I'm not talking about the Bob Saget that's like everyone's dad. I'm talking about the Bob Saget that I can't quote. There is nothing in Bob Saget's entire, what is he in the movie, 12 minutes? Entire 12 minutes in the movie, there's not even three words in a row that I can quote. Saget is the dirtiest human being who has ever lived, bar none. And the staff, the cast of it was we had this thing in Hollywood, Sarah Silverman, Andy Dick, Jason Alexander, Bob Saget, me, and Provenza did this Q&A at the Hollywood Chinese Theater. It was filmed and was supposed to go out. And it was supposed to be kind of like this actor's studio. When did you first get the idea of doing the Aristocrats? But because it was Sarah Silverman, and mostly her fault, no, also Andy Dick, and Jason Alexander, and Bob Saget, and me, and Provenza, all of us were to blame. It turned into this just chaos. It turned into just the filthiest mouth, just insulting of everything around. So that the people who did the movie, they did the movie The Aristocrats, right? So they should know what they're getting into. They went, we can't show any of this. So they put together this big thing and couldn't show any of it. And the ones that I'm going to be sending out, I'll talk about this later. I'm going to be sending out a special thing with the DVDs we send out.
Really?
Yeah, I want to do this special little joke thing. But I don't want to talk about it today because it'll get all blown out of proportion. I'll wait for that a little while later. But
okay.
Please write. I'm going to talk about the cover is what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to talk about the cover. But I'm not going to go into that today because that just won't be. Let's keep things happy.
It's a
fabulous movie. If you saw the movie in the theaters, you saw about an hour and a half. It's about 87 minutes or something, which is about an hour and a half. That was the first time.
Wow.
Sure. And it was an hour and a half. We added 2 hours of extras. No, I don't mean deleted scenes. I mean 2 hours of extras. There's more than another whole movie in there. So if there's someone in the movie that you liked a lot and only saw like a minute and a half of them, there's like 5 minutes on the DVD. And it is just George Carlin called it, you know. George Carlin, did I mention George Carlin?
You didn't mention George
the most
Carlin's
important
in it.
Comedian of my lifetime is in this. And he's fabulous. And Drew Carey is great. But if you liked him a little bit in the movie, in the DVD, it expands so much. It's just fabulous. And now I'm thinking my sister's in the other room, and I'm talking about how great this DVD is. And she's so proud of her brother, and I love her so much. And she's going to, because I said, you know, my nephew, Jeremiah, who's 14 years old,
right.
He went and saw The Aristocrat.
Who's the theater owner?
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to be allowed in under 18. But my he's not even my nephew. He's my great-nephew. He's my sister's grandson.
Okay,
I think he went to see the movie,
uh-huh.
And I think
he's
my sister,
a guy though, right?
Yeah,
like
he can get in. And I think my sister knows that,
right?
So she said to me, "How old do I have to be before I can go see the movie?" But The Aristocrats, we'll be talking about it all week. This is free FM. We talk about anything you want. Although lately it's been we talk about anything I want.
Yes,
have
it
you
is.
Noticed that? It's been getting
Thanks
closer.
For those
to
of
that.
You who called and sat on hold for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to this stuff. I'm going to get to this stuff, and we'll send you DVDs. We're going to be trying to be nice to everybody. I'm trying so hard to be right. Do not drink Sterno. And the first lady I was thinking about was Kitty Dukakis.
Yeah.
Who was not a first lady.
Quite.
And did not drink Sterno. She drank, I think, rubbing alcohol. Is that what she said? Anyway, strain your Sterno through bread. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow on Free FM because they let us!